alive.
As we turn to a time of reflection, let us pray. Holy One, we come here into this space seeking your presence. Come and be with us. Be with us in our minds and in our hearts, in our reflections. Be with us in the words that we hear and the images that you put to our minds. And guide us that we may know that you are with us always, not just when we ask. Gracious God, hear this prayer. Amen. Have you ever been so singularly focused that it's the only thing that is on your hearts and minds? Have you ever worked on a project so hard that you've forgotten to eat? Or you go to stand up at the end of the day and you almost fall to the ground because your leg's asleep? I have. In fact, when I get really focused on things, Mike gets really mad at me because he can be calling my name and I don't respond. And I hate to admit it, once or twice, Reed has come up and slapped my leg because he wanted something and, well, I had my nose in a book. I think, as we look at today's scriptures, I think something like this was part of Solomon's experience in building the temple. Solomon wanted to be known for the building of the temple. Our scriptures tell us that he was blessed with wisdom, but what he's most known for is the construction of a building. And from the time that he took office to the time when the building started, it took 7 years. 7 years of him seeking to do his best, to get the best materials, the best craftsmen, the best for God. He was focused, singularly mind on how does he create this space, a home for God. And for us who are familiar with his scriptures, it's probably not surprising that this was his focus. Because like so many parents of today's day, whispering to their young children of dreams of being doctors and lawyers, King David had been telling Solomon about the temple he wanted to build for God. A temple that God said, no, don't build, it's not for you to do. It's for your son. And so as King Solomon took his crown, there was no pressure at all on him. And if this decree from God was not enough, David had also been stockpiling the materials and the resources that were needed from his treasury and from the people to fund this amazing project. Our scripture today started off with what would have been today a phone call from a neighboring king, a non-Jewish king, but one who recognized the God of David and the God of Solomon. Somebody who had been a friend. Someone who would continue to be a friend as Solomon unrolled the blueprint and took stock of the resources. He reached out. In the parts of the scripture that we didn't read today, we hear about the gathering and the building. how King Hiram offered and helped facilitate the wood from Lebanon, the best trees in the world coming for the temple. But we skip all that. We skip all that and come, as the heading said, to the dedication of the temple. We skip that 7 years of hard work, of singularly focus, to come to the temple. The temple was more than just a place for worship. The temple was to be the sign of God dwelling in the midst of the people. Up until that day, God's presence had been represented in the Ark of the Covenant, a very fancy box laden with gold that nobody could touch for fear of God striking them down. A box that held the Ten Commandments, those rules about how we could come to know and relate to God, the simple, basic ways of being in relationship with each other. That was the mediation of God, the symbol for people of God's presence here on earth, and it walked with the people. Through 40 years in the desert, when they started to grumble and grump, it was a presence, reminding them that they were not alone in this. But David and Solomon and the people had bigger plans, something that was a little bit more permanent, a little bit less movable, less likely to get stolen. And so we stand before this temple, can you imagine just how monumentous that would be? For this people of Israel, the gathered community, our scriptures tell us, the gathered community came to watch. From far and wide, they came to this dedication. It was holy and sacred. Our scriptures say that there were sacrifices beyond number, a way of blessing each step. And in the moment where the Ark of Covenant moved into the Holy of Holies, the place specially made to house God's presence, to keep us safe from the glory of God, God's self was made manifest in a dark cloud. Like God had done so many times before, guiding the Israelites out of Egypt, the thick cloud of smoke that covered Mount Sinai when Moses received those Ten Commandments. The cloud that appeared when the tabernacle, that holy tent that the Ark of the Covenant was put into, was dedicated. And God showed up then in that cloud of smoke so that invisible God that Richard spoke of could be seen. Solomon built this temple and then invited God to come in. The temple was seen as the dwelling place of God on earth. And in modern days, right now, often our church buildings are viewed in similar ways. Popular in the past was the telling of children, "Hurry up, get your clothes on, we're going to the house of God, your best clothes." Who here was ever told that? A few people. Good for you, for those who weren't. But the church building. The church buildings of today are like that temple. They're held as treasured places in the hearts and minds of those who gather in their walls. They function in a similar way as they stand as a testament of God's presence to the gathered community and to the community around. And both are used to proclaim the message of God and help mediate that relationship between God and humanity. And our spaces. Our spaces impact our understanding of the Holy One and provide a context for our experience of the divine. Space matters. It communicates in a number of verbal and nonverbal ways, our beliefs and our values and our goals. Look around this building. Look around this sanctuary. Seriously, right now, look. All your eyes are still on me. What do you see? What detail stands out for you? And what is that trying to tell you about our relationship with God and with each other? Glory be to thee, O Lord Most High. That was one of the things that caught me when I first came into this space. Right above my head, the reminder that everything that I do and say is not about me, but should reflect the one who we come to worship. And sometimes that's really easy, and sometimes it's not. Our space is magnificent. Nobody would tell you anything different. Just like Solomon's temple. Solomon's temple was grand. It was gold-plated walls. It was magnificent. It spoke to the magnificent nature of God. And it ran like a well-oiled machine. The priests and Levites serving the people's names, offering sacrifices on their behalf. But when God showed up, it wasn't practice as usual. Our text says, when the priests came out of the holy place, so when they took the ark into that safe space that was behind a few curtains, a cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. And the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. When God showed up, it wasn't just in that holy of holy place. God's glory, God's presence, went to where they had sacrifices, went to where the gathered people were. I suspect God's presence in that cloud even spilled out into the street. Because that's who our God is. The temple was a symbol of God's presence. But when God shows up in our lives, the temple could not hold God. God was on the loose. And our buildings are the same. God may show up here on Sunday, may touch your heart. You may be spoken to God by these wonderful stained glass windows, by the words that we speak, by the songs that are sung, by the person sitting next to you who says or does something to touch your heart. God may show up here. We may even say that God dwells here. But God doesn't just stay here. God goes out into the world with us. We talk about that as Christ's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which indwells us, which sometimes we feel we get a top-up of when we're here, when we gather as the church. whether it be in this place or outside. God shows up and wrestles with us and calls to us, reminding us that we are God's people. Calls to us, reminding us that we are here to serve. And calls to us to go into that world, taking the Spirit of God that dwells in us and letting that Spirit break forth through our hands and our feet and our mouths. And God calls us here not to be blind and single-minded to the things that we think are most important, but to keep our eyes open for where God is already at work in our world. Because bricks and mortar and stone and wood don't contain God. And if God's out there and in here acting, we are only given one more command: to join in the fun, to join in the love, to join in the glory. So let us give thanks to God that this is not the only space that we experience God's presence. Give thanks to God for the space that allows us to gather together as community and refocus our lives. And give thanks to God who calls us to go into the world with arms open, as Christ did. Amen. Let us join in our hymn of response, "Abide with Me." Verses 1, 3, and 5. Follow the screens.